Philippians chapter 1, and we'll read verse 12 down to verse 14. Philippians chapter 1, reading verse 12 down to verse 14. We are going through the book of Philippians, and last week we looked at lessons that Paul wanted the church to know. And again, I was sharing that afresh with Christine this week, how things that happen on to the furtherance of the gospel, opportunities even in hospital there to get in and be a witness in hospital, even to have a Bible in the hospital there. I was in with Christine the other night, and there was a wee bit in the ward. It wasn't the official ward there, but we were in there, and I had my Bible with me. And the nurse walked in, and she said, "Are you her son?" And I said, "Well..." I said, I'm her pastor. Oh, panicked and all the rest. And she said, "No." I said, "No, you come in here. You do what you need to do." No. And she said, "No, you go take as much time as you want." And start putting all the curtains across and all the rest. And even that there, having a Bible, all those things, it's a witness. And it brings the truth back before people, even a Bible and people worshiping the Lord. So all these things happen for the furtherance of the gospel. And so we come again today to look at that thought. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 14. "But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happen unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word. Today's title, I say, is the furtherance of the gospel. We'll bring part one today, the first two points, and then we'll bring the other thoughts next week. But with God's word open, we'll unite together in prayer. Heavenly Father and eternal God, we come now to the most central part of our worship. It is, O God, the preaching of thy beloved Son. And, O God, it is our desire this day that Christ will be magnified. We pray, O God, that all things will center upon him. For, O, we confess he is the very substance of the gospel. He is the very message of the gospel. Yea, Christ is the gospel himself. And Father, we ask of thee, O God, that thou wilt come and strengthen thy people and save sinners. Give this preacher help. Make him to be a channel of blessing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When Paul arrived at Rome, he was brought as a prisoner from Jerusalem and given into the hand of the Romans. Paul desired to preach the gospel of saving grace to those in Rome. And while God granted Paul his request, and God granted Paul his desire, yet in the way Paul would get to Rome, the way Paul would arrive to Rome, was all under the sovereign purpose and providential leading of the Lord. And so Paul went through much suffering. Paul went through much trial. Paul went through many afflictions as he got to Rome, where he desired to be. And Paul, as he is in prison, and those back at Philippi, are anxious about Paul. Paul writes to them and he says, "The things which have happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." And we looked at that thought last week. The word "understand" means to know. There's something I want you to know. Something I want you to be sure about. What has happened in my life, all that's come into my life, God is using it for the furtherance of the gospel. God is moving in a remarkable way. And so we come to this thought, the furtherance of the gospel. And this phrase here that Paul uses, the furtherance of the gospel, it is an exciting word. It is a word packed with good things to feast on. It brings us ultimately to consider God's eternal redemptive purposes in the Lord Jesus Christ as he came to purchase his church. All that takes place in this world, events, things that are termed as calamities, the changing of government leaders, the Lord giving and the Lord taking away, God is working providentially behind the scenes for the furtherance of the gospel. Always remember that. God works for the furtherance of the gospel. You take the scene even with Ukraine. Whenever war broke out in Ukraine, and I know there's many things we could say about that, but in thinking about the furtherance of the gospel, how many Ukrainians have heard the gospel? How many Ukrainians have been brought into contact with families who are believers, who have them stay with them, and they're now coming to churches where God's word is taught? How many times did God's people gather for more prayer regarding Ukraine and the work out there? And so God is moving in his own wonderful purposes. You think as well in the Bible, Saul of Tarsus, Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus. In Acts chapter 1, we read that believers were scattered abroad through the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And we learn after those who were scattered abroad, they went everywhere preaching the word. And then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And you see again, through one man's persecution, their believers began to spread throughout the different places. And other places, the gospel was spread. And other people heard the gospel. And souls were saved. And so after a time of persecution, the gospel spread. That word furtherance, the furtherance of the gospel, means the advancement or the progress. The idea is to keep pressing onward. Keep pressing forward, despite obstacles, despite the opposition. And that's what the gospel is. When the gospel furthers, Paul saying, I may be in prison, and you may see all the obstacles, and you may see all the opposition, but be assured, the gospel is still going further. The gospel is still advancing. In other words, with all the distractions, with all the different things going around, the gospel still progresses. The gospel still furthers. Again, another term that comes from this word gospel, or this word furtherance, means to drive forward, means to increase. It means to cut down or to beat forward. And therefore, it is a wonderful word, because Paul takes this same word, furtherance, and he uses it in two different ways. In Philippians, Paul uses this phrase, the furtherance, or the furtherance of the gospel, for spreading the gospel, advancing the gospel. But he also uses the same term in the book of Galatians, and that's to stop the spread of the gospel, to stop the advancement of the gospel. We read in Galatians chapter 1, Paul is speaking about the days when he was not saved, when he was a righteous sinner, a self-righteous sinner. He believed himself to be better than other men. He depended upon his good works. He depended upon his tradition to the law. And Paul held upon these things. And Paul thought, the more I do against the church, the more I do against Jesus Christ, I'm honoring God, I'm pleasing God. If I persecute Christians, if I send them to jail, then God will be honored for that. And Paul began to believe that he was greater than other people. Of course, that was not the case at all, because Paul, in his sin, was unacceptable to God, and the Lord convicted him of that. But in Galatians chapter 1, verses 13 to 14, Paul, as he testifies, says, for ye have heard of my conversation, that's my behavior, in time past, in the Jews' religion, that is the system of works, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And here's the word, and profited in the Jews' religion above mine equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my Father. And that word profited in verse 14 is the same word meaning furtherance. The exact same word that means progress, advancement. And so in Philippians chapter 1, Paul is speaking about the furtherance of the gospel going further, spreading further. But in Galatians chapter 1, Paul speaks about the advancement, stopping it, stopping the gospel going further. Paul, in his unsaved days, he viewed the gospel. He viewed the message that Jesus Christ saves as an obstacle. He saw the church as a barrier, as something that was in the way. And so he went to remove it. He went to get rid of it. And this word furtherance, this word that means profited, also means to chop down. You can trace all the different words. Means to chop down. And the picture is of someone going through a field. And maybe they have a knife or a forest and they're just chopping down the trees, whatever is in their way. They want to go somewhere. And whatever is in their way, they just start cutting it down and to make a way forward. And so that's what Paul was doing. He wanted to make a way forward for the Jews' religion. He wanted to make a way forward for a false system of works. But the church was in his way. Christ was in his way. Gospel preachers were in his way. And so he just cut them down. He threw them in prison. He wasted the church. He got rid of them. He cast them aside to make a way for the Jews' religion, for false religion. But after Paul was saved, after Paul was redeemed by the precious blood, after Paul had faith in Jesus Christ, Paul now loved the gospel. Paul now loved the people of God. And then he began to spread the gospel further. He began to promote the gospel. He began to tell others about the message of saving grace. And so Paul, he began to spread the gospel further and further. And so Paul says here that I'm in prison right now, but be assured, against all the opposition, against all the obstacles, against everything that seems to be against me, be assured, the gospel is advancing. Remember Philippians, as Paul spoke Philippians, somebody would have written Philippians out for Paul. And so whenever this book was read before the church at Philippi, they would have read the verses in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. They would have heard in Philippians chapter 2 about the person of Christ expounded in his humanity and in his deity. They would have heard of Christ being exalted, and that one day every knee shall bow even before him. Because in Rome and other areas, there were the pagan gods, the false idols. But Paul came to preach Jesus Christ. And Paul can say that the things that have happened unto me, all these circumstances, the opposition, the obstacles, this prison experience, it's all happened unto the furtherance of the gospel, the advancement of the gospel, the spreading of the gospel. And that includes inside or outside the church, as seen from verse 13, and then inside the church, as seen from verse 14, which we will get to in the next number of weeks. But two simple thoughts today. First of all, the cause in the furtherance of the gospel. The cause for the furtherance of the gospel is the gospel itself, because the gospel centers upon the glorious person, the sinless life, and the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. When Paul is writing about the furtherance of the gospel and all that has taken place, it does so because the gospel is the good news, and because Christ is the gospel, he is the good news. He is the glad tidings for men and women. Jesus Christ is the greatest news for men and women in their sin. That's why Paul could say in verse 13, my bones in Christ. And the key phrase is in Christ, because Paul said, all I do is because of Christ. I live for Christ. I suffer for Christ. I preach because of Christ. Take Christ out of the gospel, and there is no gospel, because a Christless gospel gives no hope for the hopeless. It gives no pardon for the guilty, no rest for the burdened, no peace for the troubled, no recovery for the addicted, and no assurance for eternity. But praise the Lord, because the gospel centers upon Jesus Christ himself, then we have a glorious message to proclaim. We have a wonderful Savior to preach. He is a Savior who pardons, a Savior who redeems. This is a message of life. And because Christ is the gospel, because Christ is the glad tidings of great joy, then there is hope for the hopeless. There is rest for the burdened. There is peace for the troubled. There is restoration for addictions. There is pardon for the guilty. There's salvation for sinners. There's cleansing for believers. Because Christ is all the gospel. And men and women, that's why we have a message to preach. Because Jesus Christ is the very power of the gospel. He said himself in Mark 16, verse 15, go in to all the world and do what? Preach the gospel. Preach me in my life. Preach me in my death. Preach me in my resurrection. Preach me what I came to do for sinners. Preach me. Don't entertain. Don't deviate. Don't change the message. Don't twist the message. Oh yes, Paul taught Timothy, there'll be a day coming when people don't want the gospel. Oh, there'll be a day coming when people want itching ears, just a wee tickly message, just something to get me on, like a wee bit of sugar and a cup of coffee, something to sweeten it a bit more. But Paul said, no, Timothy, you preach the gospel as it's given to you, as it's given to me. Exalt Jesus Christ, because he is the gospel. You don't preach Christ in the gospel, there's no gospel to preach. That's why Paul could say in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Why? Because I preach a risen Savior. I preach a living Savior. I preach a Savior who transforms lives. Paul knew that whenever he was in prison, he was there for righteousness' sake. And as he preached, even in prison, he preached the power of the gospel. Because Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says about the gospel of Christ, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and to the Greek. And that word power is the word meaning dynamite. And so the gospel is the dynamite of God. The gospel is able to blow sin, the power of sin, in the lives of sinner. That sinner where there's a hardness of heart. That sinner where there's a stubborn of heart. That sinner who depends upon their self-righteousness or they're steeped in tradition or whatever it may be. We're weak. We're powerless. But the gospel, it has all power. It's dynamite. It can make the difference in the life. It can save. It can deliver the hardest sinner. The gospel is not a dead, empty message, but it is dynamic in operation. Furthermore, this word power, when Paul speaks about the power of the gospel, that word power is in the continual tense. And so, meaning the gospel will never lose its power. Christ's blood will never lose its power. That's why, unsaved one today, you can be saved today. You can trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today, because the gospel never loses its power. It's able to save the vilest offender who truly believes. Oh, this church has no power. This preacher has no power to save your soul. But the power is in the gospel, because Christ is the gospel. Only the gospel can deal with sin. The gospel never leaves a sinner where it finds them. Rather, the gospel rescues. The gospel transforms. That's why Paul desired to preach the gospel in Rome, because he knew those in Rome needed to hear the gospel. And that's why we preach the gospel in London, because souls in London need the gospel, because only the gospel will make the difference in their lives. They don't need another version of the gospel, nor do they need an up-to-date gospel. They need the gospel that Paul preached. They need the gospel that Jesus Christ preached. Oh yes, I know today there are different messages going around, messages of good works and other false gospels, and people may be entertained by them. People may be fascinated by them. They may be caught up in a moment. Their sin may be pushed aside for a time. But I tell you this here, a false gospel, a fake gospel, a compromising gospel will leave sinners in their sin, will leave them cold and dead in sin. Only that which is alive can make alive. And so the gospel, Paul says here in Rome, all things that have happened unto me, happen unto me for the furtherance of the gospel, for the furtherance of the good news. God has brought me here to prison, to this jail, because there's people around me who need this gospel. And we learned, as they heard the gospel, some believed, some didn't. What about you today? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you came to that point in your life where you've confessed your sin and you've said, Lord, save me, have mercy upon me? Believer, learn in our life all that happens this week, last week, whatever it may be, it's all for the spreading of the gospel. God does nothing in your life by mistake. The people who you meet, come into contact with, a bus reroute, a train cancellation, whatever it may be, it's all ordained of God. But notice finally, the circumstances in the furtherance of the gospel. Because God, in his infinite, eternal, and unchanging wisdom, chose that the gospel would be furthered by Paul's imprisonment. God, in his sovereignty and good pleasure, chose to advance the gospel in his own way. Paul said in verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest. And the word bonds literally means to be imprisoned, to be bound, to be chained. And so Paul is, he literally is obviously in prison and he is chained. However, because of that, Paul didn't really see himself as a prisoner of Rome. Rather, he always viewed himself bonds in Christ. The Romans, yes, they thought, we've got Paul a prisoner. He's bound, we've got him now. But Paul always still seen himself as, I'm here as a servant of Christ. That's why in Ephesians 3, verse 1, and Philemon, verse 9, he called himself as bonds in Christ. In Ephesians 6, verse 20, he said, I am an ambassador in bonds. Paul wasn't in prison because he committed a crime, because he had not. He made it clear in Acts chapter 28, verse 17, that he was a prisoner because he was faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. He identified with Christ. He associated with Christ. He preached the cross. So putting it all together, Paul is a prisoner. The circumstances that he is in, it's for the furtherance of the gospel. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. I endure all things for the elect's sake, Paul said, that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And so Paul's circumstances, though he was chained in a jail, though he was bound in a prison, yet he still seen himself as a servant of Jesus Christ, and the gospel still advanced through his situation. And believer, you may feel that you are a prisoner, chained to certain schedules that bind you throughout the week. Maybe your job that you work maybe 8 to 12 hours a day. Maybe you leave early in the morning and you don't get back to late at night. Maybe young people at school, at college, between the time you leave for school or for college and by the time you get back, maybe it's roughly about 9 or 10 hours in the day. And you have homework to do and you have projects, different things. And maybe you feel in a sense that you're chained and bound to those routines. You cannot unchain yourself from going to work. You cannot unchain yourself from attending school. There are places you need to be, people who you must work for, and people you must teach. However, keep in view, as Paul said, we are still, wherever we are, whatever we do, above all, we are still prisoners, bound to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can never be unchained or separated from the Lord Jesus Christ. And so wherever you are, live for Christ. Whatever you do, seek to glorify God. Philippians chapter 2, verse 15, Paul said, shine as lights in the world, because we live before a perverse and crooked generation. Therefore, show the glorious gospel through your life. Again, verse 16 of Philippians 2, holding forth the word of life. Your environment, your setting may be hard. It may be difficult. Your home life may be challenging. But God has placed you there and given you an opportunity to live a Christian life. The question must be, in my circumstance, in the work that I live in, or work that I do and place that I live in, all the different things, how can I further the gospel? How can God make me to be a channel of blessing? And that's why Paul said in Philippians 1:27, let your conversation, that word means behavior, let your behavior be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Show that Christ-like spirit, the fruit of the Spirit working through your life, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all these through your life are opportunities to show of a hope that is within you, a life that is changed. You may be unable in your work or wherever it may be, unable to speak out the gospel, but your life will speak a lot more further for you. Your life will say what will speak louder than your words. And so, live out the gospel. Show the glorious gospel. As Paul said to the church at Corinth, we are written epistles, seen and read of all men. And as one man said, your life may be the only Bible people will ever read. When Paul was in prison, the Philippians thought, how's the gospel going to advance now? But Paul's showing, now I'm in prison. The gospel hasn't stopped spreading. In fact, God has given me an opportunity in here to use the gospel for the furtherance, for the spreading. And as a result, believers were strengthened and sinners were saved. Souls began to trust in the God of salvation, and believers were strengthened in the God of their salvation. So, believer, God desires the availability of your life daily. He desires his people to work through, to make you a channel of blessing. But will you surrender all to him? Will you say, Lord, take my life? Will you say, I only have one life to live. I can never withhold it from God. Lord, use my life to be a channel of blessing, to shine all the time. Lord, I don't know what that will involve. I don't know where you will lead me down, but I do know, Lord, that you do all things well and your way is perfect. Lord, here is my life. It is available to you. I surrender all. Use me for the glory, for the furtherance of the gospel. And God will use your life. All to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Because Paul said to the believers at Rome, when they were to present their body as a living sacrifice, that was their reasonable service. Paul says here, as we've looked at today, the furtherance of the gospel. The furtherance of the gospel is seen not only in his circumstances, but also because of the cause itself. God will do his work his way, but will you allow him to work through you? Lord, while in others thou art calling, while in others thou art using, do not pass me by. Here am I, Lord. Use me. Send me. Take my life. What about you, unsaved one, today? Will you surrender all to Jesus Christ? Will you abandon your good works? Will you abandon your empty traditions? Will you abandon all these extra things that you call extra mediators or extra saviors? Abandon them all, forsake them all, and surrender all and say, Lord Jesus, thou must save, and thou alone. May God write his word upon our heart for his name's sake. Amen.